Greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Have a great blessing for you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you so much, Lord, for these wonderful things you're showing us and the encouragement, the faith that you're putting in us. Oh, we just praise you, Lord, for the victory, Lord. We love you and we thank you for this opportunity to come together and study in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we call this The Bride Passes the Test, and it was given to Eve Brast on May the 17th of 2017. She said, I dreamed that Eddie and I were walking through a small grocery store. We were there to get some healthy foods and things to make salads. Eddie was to my right and is taller than he is in real life. Well, Eddie's husband, Eddie, means wealthy defender and probably represents the Lord and his care for the bride, represented by Eve, whose name represents the bride of Adam, right? And Jesus, of course, is the last Adam. So we call her the bride here, all right? The husband, Eddie, is Jesus, right? I was pushing the basket, and we were walking along the back of the store where the meats were. Well, Jesus always points us to the meat, because he said, my meat is to do the will of my Father. Amen? I saw a dark figure dressed in dark clothing out of the corner of my eye. I looked down the aisle, and I saw T.C., in the natural, this man is in faction and truly walking in darkness after the lusts of his flesh and the demons that rule him. He walked past near the front of the store. He was walking at a fast and determined pace, and he seemed angry, which is normal. He was pointing and directing someone towards the back of the store, where the bride was, right? So once again, we see that he is seeking to attack the bride, which really is his whole ministry, kind of like Esau. Eddie directed me to look at the meats with him. Well, this is just like Jesus, right? Jesus keeping the bride focused on the meat. In other words, doing the will of the Father, which is the way we overcome the wicked's temptations. Amen? Same way he did it. We had already gotten some fruits and vegetables, and while I was focused on the meats, I felt a small bump against the basket and heard the crinkling sound of a package being placed into it. I looked into the basket and saw a package of Oreo cookies sitting on top of the fruits and vegetables. Well, T.C. and his wife's fleshly appetites for spiritual junk food is being pushed on the bride constantly. I became perturbed and took them out and set them on a shelf nearby. In other words, not accepting their slander, faction, worldly lusts, which is what destroyed them. If it don't help someone else, it won't help you. Look at the fruit, right? As we continued down the meat aisle, this kept happening with Twinkies and other snack cakes or packages of cookies. Well, the devil is tempting the bride to depart from the meat, representing the will of the Father. She said, this was becoming very distracting and frustrating. I finally looked over just at the right time to see the wife placing the Oreo pack back in our cart. She smiled and giggled like a child and hurried back over to TC, who was at the front of the store near the cash registers. Well, their factious spirits offering their lusts to the bride, just like Jesus was tempted of the devil before starting his ministry. Everything has to happen You know, all there are types and shadows that God will not overlook. They just all need to be come to pass in order to prepare us for this work, right? I was getting discouraged and thought, at this rate, we'll never make it to the register. That is, to buy the good food by losing our old life. In other words, to make the will of the Father ours. When you buy something, it's yours, right? And this dream reminds me of when my boys were little and I was shopping, they would run off and get some form of junk food and throw it in our basket. And I would have to keep telling them, no, that's not good for you, and put it back on the shelves. This would always make the grocery shopping take twice as long. Yeah. Well, you know, this testing by the wicked is necessary to prove who is the true bride. And just as Jesus proved he was the Son of God by overcoming the devil's temptations. And anybody in the Bible had to overcome factious people and their tests and their trials in order to be a person of God, right? I asked Father for a word by faith at random for TC, whom we have known as Nahab, by the way, and his wife, whom we have known as a Jezebel, who was Ahab's wife. In like manner, these two have killed the servants of God. I received Hosea 1 and 4, she said. You know, Hosea is a type of Jesus in the man-child. His name means salvation, or he saves, or he helps. My finger was on, call his name Jezreel. Okay, Jezreel, that was an important place. And I'll tell you why in a moment. We'll start with Hosea 1 and 4. We're going to use the context 2 through 7. When the Lord spake at the first by Hosea, the Lord said unto Hosea, go, take unto thee a wife of whoredom and children of whoredom, for the land doth commit great whoredom, departing from the Lord. And the Lord, of course, is the true husband. But Hosea, as a type of Jesus, has a wife of whoredom. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel. There's that place again. You know, the whoredom of faction will bring the fruit of Jezreel. This is the place where the faction of Ahab and Jezebel was destroyed by Jehu, the man-child. And verse 4 goes on to say, for yet a little while, and I will avenge. The word avenge there is not so good, I think. The Hebrew word is pagad. And it means to look over, or after, or to visit. Okay. And because he's going to visit this scenario again is why it's being used there. And the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and I will cause the kingdom of the house of Israel to cease. The kingdom of the house of Israel to cease. Okay, well, God was not judging Jehu here, but revisiting this scenario later. When Israel ceased by being removed from their lands by the Assyrians. You remember the Sennacherib scenario? Mm-hmm. By the Assyrians and resettled in the Assyrian beast lands, just like the faction has revisited in our day, because they've been taken over by the beast. The bride is spared. The bride, Jerusalem, overcame by not falling into the beast's hands. And God congratulated Jehu as a type of the man-child for wiping out the house of Ahab, TC here, you know, and Jezebel, his wife. They represent this in 2 Kings 10 and 30. And the Lord said unto Jehu, Because thou hast done well in executing that which is right in mine eyes. See, some people pervert that last verse to say that God's going to judge Jehu. Oh no, that's not what it's talking about. It's a revisitation of the whole scenario. The Lord said unto him, Because thou hast done well in executing that which is right in mine eyes, and hast done unto the house of Ahab according to all that was in my heart, thy sons of the fourth generation shall sit on the throne of Israel. Well, God was the one who ordered Jehu to destroy this faction in 2 Kings 9 and 7. Well, by the way, was prophesied to Jehu. And it was said, And thou shalt smite the house of Ahab thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, whom he killed, right? And the blood of all the servants of Jehovah at the hand of Jezebel. Okay, so they both are killing, spiritually speaking, God's people, who failed the test. Right? They listened to faction and they were taken down. They disobeyed the word, received accusations without witnesses, and etc., etc. Verse 8, For the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off from Ahab every man-child, and him that is shut up, and him that is left at large in Israel. So there won't be any man-childs in that Ahab body, right? Meaning their fruit will perish, obviously, if you want to take this in the spiritual, and we have to. And I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, who is the one who factioned Israel from David's house. Huh. The son of Nebat. And like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, who factioned against his Lord and fought against the son of David. Okay? So we're not missing anything here. I mean, it's clear what this is talking about. And the dogs shall eat Jezebel in the portion of Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury her. And he opened the door and fled. That was the prophet. So that's very interesting. Let's go back to our Hosea text in verse 5. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bare a daughter. And the Lord said unto him, Call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel. These who apostatize, these who factioned away from Judah, these who followed the golden calf, etc., etc., that I should in any wise pardon them. So God is not going to pardon them. He's going to chasten them at this time, right? What he's saying is judgment comes swiftly against those who factioned and had another Jesus, right? But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, or by horsemen. In other words, not going to be by their own strength. The bride will not save themselves, but will be saved by the Lord when he comes manifested in the man-child. I asked Father for an overall word for this dream situation, and my finger was on the phrase, My soul desireth the first ripe fig. Praise the Lord. And that's in Micah 7 and 1, and we're going to read the context of 1 through 7. Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage. Gleanings are a remnant. That's what's left in the field, right? The gleanings represent the remnant, and that's the bride who will be gathered after the summer. Notice it says, gather the summer fruits. So they'll be gathered after the summer. There is no cluster to eat, My soul desireth the first ripe fig. Well, the bride's desire is now towards the Mantell Company. Notice, the first ripe fig. And the godly man is perished, that is, dead to self. No one who's godly will ever literally perish. The godly man is perished out of the earth. And by the way, this is saying that the whole earth is going to be taken over by this. Okay? So the godly man is perished, dead to self, out of the earth. That is meaning in heavenly places. And there is none upright among men. Wow. You know, we are coming to just such a time when fashion and witchcraft takes the earth. Just like in Sandy Shaw's dream. In her dream, getting rid of bitterness and sin. On 5:14-17, where the house of the bride was cleansed of the root of bitterness and sin, and then, quote, we heard a man's voice using a megaphone. He said, the root of bitterness and sin has now taken over the world, unquote. You know, truly, the whole world and the worldly church is quickly being taken over by this, and will quickly lead to a world war. The people who speak the news are full of faction and lies. The national news media, the mainstream media, and they are poisoning the world. We had a dream Sandy had about witchcraft going forth from the Satanists, sending people forth to speak words that would infect people. It's happening. And listen to what it says. And they all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net. They want to capture everybody. Have you noticed what the left wing is doing out there to try to destroy anybody that speaks up for righteousness or defends truth or whatever? And of course, that's the portion of the government that's been totally taken over by Satanists and Islam, and which are pretty much the same. And their hands are upon that which is evil to do it diligently. The prince asketh, the judge is ready for a reward, and the great man, he uttereth the evil desire of his soul. Thus they weave it together. The best of them is a briar, and the most upright is worse than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman, even thy visitation, there it is, thy visitation is come. What is a visitation? Well, the coming of the Lord in the Man-Child Company to judge as the white horse rider. Now shall be their perplexity. I'll say so, because God has had mercy for a long time, and then now suddenly he's not going to have mercy anymore. He's going to judge. And then the text goes on to speak of the earth in this time of worldwide faction and treachery. Trust ye not in a neighbor. Put ye not confidence in a friend. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father, which is happening. The daughter riseth up against her mother, which is happening. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. But as for me, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Wow. Now this is fairly amazing, I think. And then we have another revelation that falls right in with this one. It's we call it persecution for beheading the old man. And this was on 5:14-17. I dreamed that I was in the old mobile home that my father, representing the father, had willed to me back in Texas. But the mobile home was now on the property that we are currently renting here in Tennessee. I and the rest of my UBM brethren were in the middle bedroom of the mobile home that used to be my father's office. Sounds like a good place to be. It was set up like a Sunday school room, and we were all sitting in a circle. We were all children and young people of different ages. Our teacher was very tall, so that he had to duck a little as he stood in the center of the circle. I believe what the man-child body will teach, they have already digested and matured in, right? They're very tall. There were four tall beings, what I'm going to call them angels, holding a purple woven blanket high up over the circle. Our teacher had an orange circular saw that he started up, and as we were looking up at the blanket from underneath, he began to delicately cut right down the center of the blanket. I believe this is representing creating an open heaven, or power in prayer and favor with the Father. And this happens because of the teachings. Remember, Jesus taught the disciples how to have power and how to pray and so on and so forth. But there was a large, tall man standing outside of the circle in the corner of the room who had red, curly hair and a red beard. I believe this is a description of factious Esau, who sold his birthright through a root of bitterness and walking after the flesh. He's just a type of the faction in our day. He disrupted the cutting of the blanket by stepping over some of the younger children and into the circle. And when he did this, one of the beings who were holding one of the corners of the blanket grabbed the man by the scruff of the collar and stopped him. Well, he was found unworthy to enter the circle of the saints. And he couldn't stop the teaching, and he couldn't stop the open heaven. Then the teacher ducked underneath the blanket and called my name and said, "Eve, take this," and handing me the circular saw, said, "Cut his head off." So when I stood up, I realized I was as tall as him, and I cut his head off with the saw. Ooh, gruesome. Well, like David did Goliath, the enemy of Israel. But there is also a double meaning here. The mind of the faction is the mind of the flesh. Your old man and the faction are in agreement. That's why you're tempted and you're tested, right? And it is the enmity, it is at enmity with God and our spiritual man. The mind of the flesh is rejected. Factious Esau and his ways will not appeal to us. If you reject the mind of the flesh, Esau's ways are not going to appeal to you. You won't be tempted, right? Or you won't fail in your temptation, right? Romans 8 and 5 says, "For they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind of the flesh is death." This is why the head has to be cut off, right? "But the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind of the flesh is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God." They do not obey the word. That's why they were turned over to the devil. "Neither indeed can it be." Ephesians 2 and 3 says, "Among whom we all once lived in the lusts of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." Why does it say were? Because the head of the flesh has been cut off, right? And she said, "His head fell in the center of the circle to the gasps of all the children," representing all the children of the UBM, or the bride. And why is that? Because Psalm 37 and 34 says, "Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it." God wants the people to see this for a lesson. "I then stooped down and picked the head up and tucked it under my right arm. Once I had done this, I was aware that I had a lot of enemies. always, and I became cautious and a little fearful. I felt like I was going to get in trouble by the law. Well, whenever we reject the mind of the flesh for the mind of Christ, the world and the worldly Christians become our enemy because they are flesh. Remember what the Old Testament teaches us about the next of kin. The next of kin seek to avenge the death of their kin, so that the people of God must flee to the city of refuge to escape them, right? We have a refuge, and it's in Christ. Amen? Oh, how cool. So I walked into the living room where my husband was as the children followed me. And I asked him if I had done the right thing, and he smiled and nodded in approval. Well, Jesus, our husband, approves of our obedience to cut off the old man. I took the head and placed it near the front door on the floor. I began to notice a cloudy water starting to run from his nostrils and then pouring out of his mouth. Well, that was always the way of Esau and the old man too, right? And this, I believe, means that the old man's discernment and his words, the water, are unclean. I expressed concern over this, and my husband handed me a thick white towel and told me to place it under the head to catch all the water so it wouldn't get on the floor. In other words, the place of the saints must not be defiled by the words of the old man, or Esau, the factious man. Then I said, I need to bury this as deep underground as I can. Yeah. Well, you know, the mind of the flesh is buried with Christ in baptism, so that we reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin. You just consider yourself dead unto the old man. You don't have to obey him anymore, because when you were baptized, you died and were resurrected, and the one resurrected is Christ in you. That's the gospel. It's the good news. We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. It all comes from Him by faith. And we reckon ourselves to be dead in sin, as Paul said in Romans 6, right? He made you free from sin. That means He cut off the old man. So I put the head into a thick white plastic bag and opened the front door and looked towards the back of the property to look for an area to bury it. Just then, several neighborhood children came up on the porch and started to ask me what was in the bag that I had behind my back. I was surprised that they could see the decapitated head. It was as if they had x-ray vision and already knew that I had cut off the head. Well, look, you every one of you out there that's been born again and started to walk in the Spirit and after the Word of God, you know the people around you recognize that right off. And they usually make war on you, you know, because you cut off the head of their next of kin, their old man, right? So, you know, the next of kin can tell immediately that we are not of their mind or their spirit. And let me say, the closer you get to Jesus, the less they're going to like you. If Jesus walked into these churches, oh my goodness, you think he got a crucifixion the first time? He would get it again, because they crucified themselves, the Son of God, afresh and put him to an open shame. They willfully disobey his word. They hate him. And it will take much tribulation for the so-called church to repent. That is, the elect among them to repent and return to God. They hate him. They crucify him. That's who's always crucified the saints, is the wicked among us. They began to persecute me, throughout history, by threatening to go and tell their parents what I had done. I'm going to call the law on them. This made me anxious, and I, I felt I needed to hurry and bury it. So when they left, I went out to the back of the mobile home on my way to bury the head, and my son Josiah appeared to my right as a toddler. That's the man child, right? And said, "What's that?" And I said, "It's a head." He then crouched down and began poking the bag with his finger. I guess he's real glad to see this. And smiling. Yes, he is. He's glad to see this. Then I woke up. So Josiah, the reformer man-child, approves of cutting off the old head and making God the new head, right? And this, of course, means having the mind of Christ. The Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means we have to kick out the old software and put in the new software, which is the Bible itself. Don't trust anybody to do this for you, especially some apostate church that doesn't have the power of God and doesn't believe half of the scriptures. In fact, you shouldn't be there. You should depart as you were commanded by the Apostle Paul to depart. So this means having the mind of Christ, cutting off the old head, accepting the new head. The tall teacher told the bride to cut off the head so she could grow a new one. Okay? Ephesians 4:11 says, "And he gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." You could say this is the tall teacher, all wrapped up in one, right? The tall teacher. "For the perfecting of the saints." That's why there is a fivefold ministry, friends. Jesus was the fivefold ministry all wrapped up into one. But he raised up a fivefold ministry. He passed on his gifts to apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. And this is for the perfecting of the saints. Unto the work of ministering. He's perfecting the saints in order to have them minister for him in this earth, right? Amen. Unto the building up of the body of Christ. Yes, the body of Christ must be strong in the earth. And it will be. It's not right now, but it will be. Till we all attain unto the unity of the faith. I've seen this happen among people coming together of all different backgrounds too. It's a work of God. It's an awesome miracle. And the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a full grown man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now those preachers that tell you this is impossible, they don't know the power of God. They don't believe in the power of God. How could they believe this? So you need to get away from them because they don't know the gospel. That we may be no longer children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, which is what they are. They're full of wind, right? By the sleight of men in craftiness after the wiles of error, but speaking truth in love, here it is, here's the punchline, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, even Christ. That we're putting on the head of Christ. And now, another revelation from Eve that was given on the 18th. I dreamed that I was in the spirit and floating above the ground outside of my house that my father had given me. That was a mobile home. In the dream, it was my house that I shared with UBM. Well, we're going to call it the bride's house. We all gathered there to have Bible studies and to read the UBM books. The house from the outside was very old looking. It was a mobile home. In other words, the original portable wilderness tabernacle of the Lord, right? He is once again repeating history. It had been painted white at one time, but much of the paint had been weather-beaten, and from the outside the house didn't look desirable at all as a dwelling place. It looked very poor. Well, if you remember, the flesh is scorched by the sun, like the Shulamite bride in Song of Solomon 1 and 5. She says, "I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, and as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me, because I am swarthy, because the sun hath scorched me. My mother's sons were incensed against me," just like we read earlier. "They persecuted the bride." In other words, they're crucified by their own brethren, just like the Lord. History repeats. "The inside of the house, however, looked strong and majestic, like a rich mansion with many priceless antiques and beautiful antique furniture." In other words, it's furnished by the ancient church. "It had beautiful rugs and rich drapery. In the dream, I couldn't believe that this was my house. I was so thankful to have it and to live there. You would have never guessed at the riches that were inside it by looking on its outward appearance." It's like, you know, we're waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. What's hiding them? That exterior that they walk around in. They look just like everybody else. 1 Samuel 16 and 7 says, "For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." He was correcting Samuel, by the way, when he thought he was picking a new king for Israel. And he was looking at all them big boys of Jesse, but found out this is what the Lord said to him, because he was going to pick little David. "David was to my right and smiling as we watched Don and Merlene coming inside. There were others close behind them. I watched as everyone made their way over to the tables. Suddenly from outside the house, behind David and me, I felt the spirit of witchcraft lurking behind some bushes near to a detached garage. And I had a vision of T.C. and his wife," connecting this dream to the other, right? "Somehow she had gotten a look at the inside of the house and knew what we possessed, and that she couldn't have it. And she was jealous and covetous of the riches that were inside." Of course, the riches represent the riches of Christ, Christ-likeness, Christ's fruit, right? "T.C. whispered to her, telling her to cause us trouble and sabotage the UBM materials." Materials, by the way, are just focusing on the Word of God, and that is what recreates Christ in us, is the Word of God. And this, of course, is what they've tried to do through their witchcraft, is sabotage UBM materials. I saw her moving her hands and arms using some kind of magic to remotely change the words in the books to make them confusing to us as we tried to have our Bible study and read from the books. What this means is that they try to make the materials to be something that they are not, or to say something that they do not. They're trying to bring disrepute. Not just them, but all of the faction. They just represent it very well. "As she was doing this, I could see the books shake on the tabletops. I looked over at David and told him what was going on and what I saw happening to the books. And this is when I woke up. So I asked Father for a word for this dream and received Isaiah 18 and 5. And my finger was on before the harvest. So verse 5, for before the harvest, when the blossom is over, and the flower becometh a ripening grape. In other words, before the fruit of the bride matures, he will cut off the sprigs with pruning hooks, and the spreading branches will he take away and cut down. I'm the vine, you're the branches. What if a branch doesn't bear fruit? What did Jesus say? Right? Cut it down, threw it in the fire. So he will cut off the factious from among us, which is happening. Verse 6. They shall be left together unto the ravenous birds of the mountains, and to the beasts of the earth. And the ravenous birds shall summer upon them. Wow, notice this. Notice that the summer, before the harvest, the demons will devour them. Notice that that during the summer, before the harvest, the demons will devour them. Revelation 18 likens the demons to birds, right? And all the beasts of the earth shall winter upon them. In other words, the wicked will devour them. Because here's the thing. Be not deceived. Whatsoever man sows, so shall he reap. What you do to others comes back upon you. Look at Judas. Judas hung Jesus on a cross, but he hung himself. People are creating their own future, because whatsoever man sows, so shall he reap. So the beasts of the earth shall winter upon them, meaning the wicked shall devour them. They were the wicked to devour the people that they devoured, so the wicked will devour them. In that time shall a present be brought unto the Lord of hosts, from a people tall and smooth, even from a people terrible from their beginning onward. A nation that meeteth out and treadeth down, whose land the rivers divide. Well, if you go back to verse 1, you find out that this is Ethiopia. So this is said to be Ethiopia in verse 1. To the place of the name of the Lord of hosts. So they're bringing a present, right, to Mount Zion. To the place of the name of the Lord of hosts, the Mount Zion. Well, you know the rumor. Ethiopia is said to be given a copy of the Ark of the Covenant by Solomon. It was given to the Queen of Ethiopia, Queen of Sheba, right? But could the Ark of the Covenant represent the bride body, which is the presence of God? What is God looking for? His bride. What's the best present that he could receive? His bride. God's getting a bride ready to follow Jesus, just like we see in the Gospels. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, John the Baptist said. And he was taking the bride and educating them and sending them forth to do the same thing that he did. Right? And this is a type, of course, of the man-child, because history always repeats on a larger scale. The man-child also is going to take the chosen bride, the holy bride, and raise them up and send them forth to the world to raise up the kingdom of God, to raise up the temple of God and the city of God. Because the people who came out of captivity were the ones who raised up the temple and the city of God. Of course, we're coming out of captivity. to the old man, to the flesh, to the devil. Those that don't want to give up their old life will lose their life. We have to give our old life in exchange for our new life. They both occupy the same territory. So in effect, we buy the new with the old. By giving the old, we receive the new. Amen. People that don't want to do that are people that have been kicked out of the body so that the body can be clean and pure and holy and ready to start this revival. They've been kicked out. I still believe many of these will come back, but they will not come back factious. That will be dead. And some, we've been told from quite a few verses, some, especially of the leadership, will never come back. They'll be reprobated, and some of their major people who have made war against the saints will not come back. But there will be Pauls. You know Paul. Paul persecuted the saints. But God wanted to show his power to save. And so he saved Paul. And he worked harder than the rest because he really had something to prove here, you know. He worked harder than the rest to disciple the disciples and to bring about the kingdom of God. It's a wonderful story. And the Lord is working on this right now. These revelations that I've shared with you, you may want to listen to them again and think on them and meditate on them and even stop the audio and apply them to your life. I think people go too fast many times. We don't have much choice on the air. We have to share the whole thing, and in a relatively short time, we don't have time to stop and think about it, talk about it, and discuss it. But you can do it yourself, and let the Lord really teach you through what's being shown here. These revelations are parables of Jesus. He's been telling us for years that he was going to give us these parables to give to you. Why does he give things in parables like this? Well, to hide them from the wise and prudent and to reveal them unto babes. His disciples were a little miffed that Jesus was talking to their Jewish brethren in parables. And they were worried and they told the Lord, Lord, why do you talk to them in parables? They don't understand you. They wanted their brethren to understand. But Jesus said, to you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it is not given. That meant that when Jesus started his ministry, there was a great falling away. Much like we read in Revelation 12, a third of the stars of heaven fell to the earth. The tail of the dragon threw them down to the earth. In other words, they were deceived by the dragon beast and fallen to the earth. Are we seeing that? Of course we are. Like no time in history we're seeing that. These people have been thrown down to the earth. They've lost their position in the heavenlies. You see, if you don't forgive people, you are not forgiven. That means, get this, you are not saved. Can they be saved again? Yes, they can. Some will, some won't. But a third of the stars of heaven will fall to the earth at the beginning of this tribulation. They will be lost. Is that happening? Yes, it's happening. And it's going to continue to happen. And the judgment, of course, that the world is going to bring upon them will bring some to repentance, others not. But this is an outpouring of God's Spirit that's about to start, and God wants a holy vessel. We've had false revivals. We've had them come and go. They were false. They were imparting demons. I saw them imparting demons to people. They were false revivals. Well, some people call it the false prophetic, you know, because after they got this revival, they couldn't prophesy anything correctly. And it is truly the false prophetic. And so all of this is coming to pass, you know, leading up to the woman going into the wilderness. What do they need to get rid of? Egypt. What are we seeing happening out there, by the way? The Red Sea. The Red Sea is taking down Pharaoh's army still. And God's got quite a few more to hang of Haman's 10 sons, of Hitler's head Nazis. History just keeps repeating, have you noticed? You know? And these Nazis, these factious, these Esau's, these Ishmaelites, spiritually, in Christianity, because everything that happened to Israel happens to Christianity, these people are being and going to be judged. And we pray, of course, that many will come to repentance. And even many Pauls come forth. You know, Paul was a Pharisee, and agreed with them to kill the people of God. Just like Ahab and Jezebel. Same thing. Just like Korah's rebellion. Same thing. Just like Judas. Same thing. God's just got so many ways to show us the same thing. But all you got to do is look and you can see who's who. Anybody that's got any spiritual discernment, you can see who's who. And woe be unto them, you know, that are the wicked that persecute God's people. And yes, they can never have this building, this beautiful building. It's the bride's building. That they will miss out on. Well, we have seen people come back, but there are very few. And they have repented. They're listening to the Lord again, but they're very, very few. The most, I believe, will come back after the chastening is upon them, the chastening of the tribulation is upon them. Because they haven't repented quickly, as a few have, they will have to endure much more trouble and tribulation. Amen. Well, Father, we desire earnestly to be like the bride in this revelation, an overcomer, one who has lost the mind of the flesh and taken on the mind of the Spirit, one who has overcome the Esau's, the Ishmaelites, the Korah's, the Judas's, all these people who have made war against the saints, all these types that have made war against the saints. They have overcome, Lord. They have borne their cross, obeying you even in the midst of temptation, and they have overcome. And we're coming to their reward and the judgment of the wicked. His judgment's coming before him, and his reward is with him. That's what the Lord said. The judgment of the wicked. Father, we praise you for this opportunity to get together and study your word. And we ask, Lord, that what you've said to us today would be brought back to our remembrance, that you'd bring all good things to our remembrance that we need to know to defend us against the wicked. We ask that any of the brethren that are listening today would really study this and think on this. There is a great reward. A beautiful house is going to be given to the overcomer bride. And the rest will go into great trouble. And in hopes that they too could repent. And Lord, we know that Jezebel and Ahab, you know, murdered your people. And those spirits have to die. And we've seen them do that. We know they're doing that. They've murdered people with their slander and lies and false word and so on. And they have to die. Hopefully, they will have resurrection life. The elect will. But Lord, we reject their Oreo cookies. We reject their fleshly appetites. We reject their junk food. We want the food from heaven. We want especially the meat from heaven to do the will of the Father, to do obedience to the Word of God, which is the will of the Father. Lord, we just thank you for your mercy towards us and granting us to overcome thus far. And Lord, we know you're sending forth your angels and you're gathering out of your kingdom all that sin and do iniquity. And so that the righteous shine forth in the kingdom of their Father. Lord, your kingdom people are nothing without you, and they know it. They know it is by your grace that they overcome and that you live in them. But oh, they rejoice that you live in them. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you for empowering all of your people who desire to overcome in these days, that you would empower them and bless them to stand up, to let Jesus stand up in them, that they would walk by faith in you to be overcomers, that they would accept correction, which the wicked do not accept. They get angry. They are too proud to have anything possibly be wrong with them. They're too proud. Any kind of graceful correction, they just cast it to the ground and trample on you. And so, Lord, we just thank you that your holy people who overcome are humble to your words, humble to your correction. They're asking you, what can we do to please you, Father? They're desirous to know. They're ready to give up their life. Thank you, Father, for that humility in your people. It's a gift that you put there. It's easy for them to see the pride of the arrogance of the faction and other sin groups that come against your people. Father, we praise you for your mercy towards us. We ask, Lord, that we may pass all of the love tests, that we'll be proven to be the ones who love and desire your grace for your people and desire your word to be obeyed, because these are the ones who love you. Thank you, Father, that they will hold fast to the meat. For Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of my Father. And so, Father, we thank you for drawing us and showing us the meat, Lord, showing us how to apply your words to this new life and the building of this new kingdom of Jerusalem. And we thank you, Father, for doing this. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for doing this. Lord, grant us repentance. Grant us repentance in all things that are displeasing unto you. Lord, we are ignorant. As much as we may know and study the Word of God, we are still ignorant. So we ask you, Lord, to show us those things. Lord, our flesh fights against us. But you've given us victory over that flesh. And we reckon it to be dead. And we thank you for the mind of Christ, which is the Word of God, that we accept as we read day by day. We accept it to be our mind, the mind of Christ. And we receive this awesome miracle in Jesus' name. Amen. Well,